Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In many countries, people who change their religion to Christianity are punished to try to make them take back their old beliefs. How do such people hold on to their trust in Jesus in these times of hardship and strife? They do so by remembering verses of Scripture they've learnt, praying and being joyful in their suffering. In doing this, they're comforted. Before hard times come, believers in the Lord Jesus are encouraged to learn the Scriptures as well as the words of worship songs thoroughly. Over 60 years ago, a missionary was imprisoned by the Japanese during their wartime occupation of parts of China. At the Japanese prisoner of war camp, the penalty for owning even a portion of the Scriptures was death. However, a small Gospel of John was smuggled to her in a winter coat. At night when she went to bed, the missionary pulled the covers over her head and with a little light in hand, read a verse and went to sleep, learning that verse by heart. In this way, over a period of time, she learnt the entire Gospel of John. When she went to wash her hands, the missionary would take one page at a time, dissolve it with the soap and water, and then flush it down the drain. That was how she safely rid herself of the precious gospel before it was detected. The missionary was interviewed by a reporter just before the prisoners were released at the end of the war. When the camp gates were opened, the prisoners came shuffling out like robots. Then the missionary marched out. One of the watching reporters spoke, "I wonder if they managed to brainwash her." The reporter, who had just interviewed her, answered, "God washed her brain." If we want to be strong in our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we must fill our minds with Scripture and thankfulness. The children in Jewish families were taught the books of Moses from an early age, but before Jesus' mother Mary could teach him the words of God, the family needed to return to Israel from their enforced exile in Egypt. In Hosea chapter 11, Hosea the prophet recorded God's words, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
Are we going? To Nazareth?
Jesus is an heir of David. He is to become king of Israel. So maybe he should grow up in Bethlehem, the hometown of David.
Bethlehem is a small town, Joseph. Do you think you can find work there?
Good carpenters can always find work.
You are a good carpenter, Joseph.
And I'm going to teach Jesus to be a good carpenter, too.
Jesus, a carpenter? Well, he has a more important role to fulfill. King of Israel.
Well, in the meantime, he has to be a child, grow up, learn to work and be useful. Work and responsibility are a blessing, and only the diligent worker can find true joy and happiness.
You're right, of course. As his parents, we must teach Jesus to be faithful in all phases of life. We'll need help, Joseph. Divine help.
Well, Mary, we've crossed into Judea. A few more days and we'll be in Bethlehem. Home. Oh, there's no place like home.
Except when you're worried.
You're worried? About what, Mary?
Well, this may sound silly to you, but I'm fearful for little Jesus' life.
But the king is dead.
King Herod, yes. But someone is king. Who? If it is one of Herod's sons, he might try to have Jesus killed.
Perhaps we'd better stop at the first village and find out who is the present king and all that has happened in Judea since we went to Egypt. Would that make you feel better?
Yes. And thank you, Joseph.
King Herod dead? Yes, quite some time ago. No loss to anyone, if you ask me. There was a cruel king, if ever there was one. He must have killed more than a dozen of his own family, including wives and grandmothers, and how many more no one knows. But the cruelest thing he ever did was kill, actually kill, every male baby 2 years and under in the town of Bethlehem.
Who is king now?
Well, you look like an Israelite. How is it that you don't know these things about your own land?
Why, I've been in Egypt.
Ah, Well, Herod's son Archelaus rules in Judea. He takes after his father. Already he has slaughtered thousands of Israelites in a tumult at Jerusalem. His extreme cruelty and heavy taxation make him hated even more than Herod was, if that's possible.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly.
If it's not safe to go to Bethlehem, where will we go, Joseph?
I wish I knew, Mary.
There is always one answer to every problem. God.
I've been praying about it, ever since I learned that the cruel Archelaus is king.
Then don't worry about it, Joseph. God told us to go to Egypt, and then he told us to come back to Judea. So we should cast our perplexity and burden on him. God will take care of us.
But first, we must do all we can. Then God will take over.
That night, as Joseph, Mary, and little Jesus slept, Joseph had a dream.
Behold, Joseph, thy prayer has been heard, and I am come to direct thee and thy wife and Jesus the Savior to a place of safety. Return thou to thy former home in Nazareth, for there the Savior will grow safely into manhood.
In Nazareth, Mary took up the duties of a wife and mother, establishing a home where love and respect and harmony abounded. Joseph opened a carpenter shop. Weeks and months and years pass. The baby Jesus grew into the boy Jesus. With deep interest, the mother of Jesus watched the unfolding of his powers and endeavored, prayerfully, to strengthen the impress of perfection upon his character. With earnestness, she sought to encourage that bright, receptive mind by teaching him the scriptures.
When King Herod died in 4 BC, he left a portion of his kingdom to each of his three sons. None of them were very happy about this, so together they took a ship to Rome to appeal to Caesar that he should overturn the will and give the whole kingdom to one of them. While the sons were on their way, a delegation of people from Judah went also to tell the Caesar that they were tired of being ruled by the bloodthirsty Herods. Caesar decided not to break up the will, and so each king went back to the place that he had been assigned by his father's will. When Mary and Joseph returned from Egypt, they may have planned to settle in Bethlehem, David's city, but they soon discovered that the new ruling king there had killed all the people of the delegation who had travelled to Rome. Joseph was warned in a dream not to settle there, so they returned to Nazareth, where they had originally come from. In the last verse of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, it says that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. The town of Nazareth was a poor area and had a poor reputation among the people in other cities of Israel. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, a man who later became a disciple of Jesus asked, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Certainly that wasn't the place that the temple rulers would look for a bright new scholar or a Messiah. During Jesus' childhood, he must have been a very diligent learner of the scriptures. When Jesus went for the first time to Jerusalem, he asked the teachers of the law many questions. They were amazed at his learning and understanding. We need to ask ourselves, what are we putting into our minds? In Philippians chapter 4, we're taught to put good things into our minds, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, blameless and praiseworthy. Think on these things. If we focus our thoughts on good things, then the bad, ugly, evil, and wrong things won't be part of our lives. Did you know that many people actually make themselves physically sick? They do it through bad and negative thoughts that they dwell on continually in their minds. In modern medical research into brain science, it's been proven that thoughts can be measured, and they affect every area of our life. But best of all, the brain really can change how it works through how a person controls it. The opposite of healthy thoughts are toxic thoughts. Toxic thoughts trigger negative and anxious emotions and thus in turn cause the body to produce substances that cause body stress. As we think, our thoughts are activated and these flow through to our attitudes. Attitudes are all our thoughts put together and reflect a person's state of mind. Positive attitudes cause a person's body to secrete the correct amount of chemicals for a healthy body, but negative attitudes cause imbalances. We have two choices. We can let our thoughts become toxic and poisonous, or we can shun or remove our negative thoughts. rejecting negative thinking will improve our emotional wholeness and even recover our physical health. A doctor couldn't understand why a baby was always sick. One day he entered the child's home while the parents were quarrelling and saw the mother nursing the child. The doctor threw up his hands and said, "Now I know what the problem is with your baby. You are poisoning it by hostility." The poison was in the mother's milk, put there by anger. We can use a variety of words to describe our negative feelings. Irritation is a feeling we get when something upsets us, but it soon passes. Indignation is similar, but it's deeper and stronger, and it takes longer to pass away. Resentment comes when the mind continues to focus on these things, but will not allow it to pass. Those feelings can keep simmering day after day, but not be outwardly expressed. Hatred and anger are different. They soon reveal themselves. These emotions must be recognized, understood, and kept under control. If you don't control them, they'll control you. There are two types of anger. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "Be angry and sin not." How can we be angry and not sin? Anger is morally justified when it is grief at what is happening to others. Anger is sin when it is resentment at what is happening to oneself. If we're honest, most anger is brought on by self-interest and self-concern. Jesus was angry but didn't sin. In him, the fire of anger was under control. We need to pray to God and ask that all things harmful to our body, soul, and mind be taken out of us. In Proverbs chapter 23, it says, "What a person thinks is what he really is." This is why it's so important to have a good knowledge of the Bible committed to our memory. God's Holy Spirit can bring to mind any of the familiar verses of Scripture to warn and teach us. What's the best way of putting verses of Scripture into our mind? Some people learn quicker than others. Some seem to believe that they can't do it. One such pastor recalled how he entered Christian service with an undisciplined mind. To overcome his lack of Bible knowledge, he wrote references in the front of his Bible for use in counseling and evangelism. He soon found it was awkward to stop his conversations long enough to track down the right verse. So he determined to succeed at Scripture memory. He struggled for the first half an hour to remember two verses, but finally remembered them. The next morning, he reviewed and reinforced those verses in his memory and added a new one. By making it a priority in his life, the pastor discovered after a while that he had learnt 100 verses. By the end of his life, the pastor had learnt over 20,000 verses and could locate each by chapter and verse without his Bible. No wonder his Christian life was full of joy, his mind full of wisdom, and his evangelistic efforts full of success. How about you? Have you started out with determination yet to remember verses of Scripture? Once in your memory, the verses will give you victory over sin, help you overcome worry, speed up the transforming process in your life, and outfit you for unlimited service for God. If you lack confidence in sharing your faith, start learning the most suitable verses first. Writing them down is helpful to some people. Then God will powerfully use us in his service to help others see their need of a Saviour from sin. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "God is my Saviour. I will trust him and not be afraid." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.